Invito per Malinowski, carica a sinistra, una finta. Malinowski dentro in buca, Messi a stocco sotto! Fantastico gol del vantaggio del Genoa, Junior Messias.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Serie A Spotlight. This is episode 136 and we're your hosts Matt
and Jake
here to give you guys the final episode before match day one kicks off.
Yes, we finally have a goal of the week again because the Coppa Italia featured in the past few days, and we saw Malinowski assisting Junior Messias with a fantastic fake shot and through ball, and then Messias just slipped in and chipped the goalkeeper. It was a lovely goal.
Yeah, signs of what's to come maybe for Genoa, especially since they got Retegui. Maybe we'll see Messias in that final third a little bit more.
They're going to have to step it up, those two, with the at the rate the their teammates are leaving, basically.
Yes, but as it stands, they've still got Goodmanson, who will be pivotal for them, especially if they play with a two up top in a bit of a counter-attacking system. Messias and Goodmanson, maybe Ekuban. That could be quite interesting as well. But you might be wondering, oh, what's this episode about? What's this episode about? This is a one-to-watch segment. Now, what do we mean by one-to-watch? So firstly, we're going to go through the table for all 20 teams, and we're basically going to give you our ones-to-watch from each team. We could only choose one. Now, this does not mean that they are our favorite player or the best player, or if you're new to Serie A, we recommend maybe you look at some other players, maybe at the star players. But these are the players that maybe have a bit of an interesting backstory to them or have a lot of the line with high stakes that we just believe would be interesting to specifically have a look at systematically for this season.
These are our recommendations. This is basically who we're going to be keeping our eye on because for many reasons, you know, it could be that historically they've always flopped and this may be their last chance at a specific level, or maybe a new kid who's just burst into the scene, something like that, you know.
Yeah. We're also going to give you a rundown of the Coppa Italia because we had our eyes on it. It was very, very cool seeing Sassuolo's first game before they go into Serie B with Mulattieri leading the line. Seeing the new boys in Serie A kind of flop a little bit. Would you care to give us a bit of a rundown of the proceedings over there, bro?
Of course, brother. So we've got the first game that took place was Carrarese against Catania.
Here we go.
And excuse my voice, guys. I've been unwell. Classic.
Yeah.
It's my monthly illness. So Carrarese beat Catania 2-1. Mantova beat Torres 2-1. Cesena beat Padova 3-1. Cesena have some interesting players that we know very well, like Simone Bastoni, who we know from Empoli. Daniele Donnarumma, who we remember from Brescia. And Christian Spendi, whose dad went mental and punched the goalkeeper in the face. Avellino also beat Juve Stabia 3-1. The only notable thing from this game is that Juve Stabia's right back is 21-year-old Romano Floriani Mussolini. And yes, you guessed it. He is the great-grandson of Benito Mussolini. Who is Benito Mussolini, you might ask? He is a fascist dictator from back in the day. Yes. Sassuolo beat Cittadella 2-1. Lauriante and Mulattieri on target for Sassuolo.
Brilliant goal by Lauriante. Really
fantastic,
good goal. Trademark.
Yes. Yeah, they could have used that last season.
Yeah.
Enrico Baldini scored for Cittadella. That was also a lovely goal. Well placed from outside of the box. The only Baldini, however, that I recognize is the bald Maldini himself, Gabriel Palletta. It's also interesting to see Bolocca and Mulattieri playing for Grosso again. Our patron Matthias pointed out that they had played under him at Frosinone. Udinese beat Avellino 4-0 with goals coming from Brenner, Thuvan, Lucca and Davis. It was a show. Udinese absolutely destroyed them.
Yeah.
Genoa edged it past Reggiana thanks to a beautiful piece of link-up play between Malinowski and Messias, created by Malinowski, converted by Messias. Monza and Sutterol ended 0-0 with Armando Izzo scoring the winning penalty for Monza, so all is wrong in the world. Cremonese beat Bari on penalties after finishing in a 1-1 draw. Verona lost to Cesena thanks to an own goal by Montepo, which is a harsh own goal, by the
way. Very harsh.
He just tried
weak
to save
arm,
it.
Weak arm, though. Very weak arm. It went through his arm.
But that, with that logic, any shot that hits the goalkeeper and goes in is an own goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, that's not an own goal. And another goal by Christian Spendi, by the way. So two goals for him in the Coppa Italia. New boy Tengsted for Verona was on target. So keep an eye on him. He might be the new boy that gets the goals for
Is that a different Spendi? It has to be.
Is it a different Spendi?
You couldn't have scored for it.
No, no, it's the same. Cesena. Yes, this is the second game for Cesena.
Oh, it's the second game for Cesena. Okay.
Yes. Exactly. Empoli came from behind to smash Catanzaro. Fazzini scored twice, while new boys Esposito and Colombo also got on the score sheet. The score over there was 4-1 for Empoli. It was the Fazzini show, this one.
Mm-hmm. The new number 10, huh?
Yes. Napoli finished 0-0 against Modena. They really lacked a number 9 in this game, and it was quite bad, to be honest, for them. They were just crossing to nobody.
Conte was yapping after the game already. He's like, yeah. I don't know if it's a team or something systematically within Napoli itself.
Something from the top down, you know. Napoli's Khedira missed his penalty, putting all the Napolitans at the edge of their seat, but Meret ended up saving the day with two saves on Battistella and Zaro. Brescia beat Venezia thanks to a goal by Borelli and two great goals by Giacomo Olzer. Idzes got one back for Venezia in the 89th minute. Dionysi's Palermo looked solid against Parma and beat them through a nice corner routine, which saw Roberto Insigne hoofing the ball into the near post. It was just a 1-0 victory for them. Standard. The routine was lovely. Insigne played the corner short, beat the offside trap and received the ball again, and just hoofed it near post.
Nice.
Just above the goalkeeper. Lovely routine. Sometimes it's simple things in football that get you the victory. Thomas Henry almost got sent off in the 88th minute. He got a yellow card for arguing and wouldn't stop. Hilarious scenes on a Parma penalty when a fan with a megaphone started chanting a goal, a goal, a goal, only for the goalkeeper to save Dennis Mann's penalty. Sampdoria against Como was absolutely thrilling. This was Fabregas against Pirlo. Ooh. Janu opened the scoring for Sampdoria against his former club, while Cutrone scored for Como, set up by Strefezza, and they did this celebration, bro. There we go, the Kessie and Çalhanoğlu, I call it the Judas. Muelenstein missed the penalty for Sampdoria, but Verdi and Brownoder failed to convert for Como as they were knocked out of the
Muelenstein.
Coppa. Yes, Muelenstein. Sounds like he has a sexual abuse case against him. This guy, Muelenstein, you know. First name, what, Harvey. Torino beat Cosenza thanks to an own goal in the first minute and a late goal by Duvan Zapata. Pisa spanked Frosinone 3-0 with goals from Tramoni, Bonfati and Arena. Lecce fought hard to beat Mandova 2-1 thanks to goals by Pongracic's replacement Gaspar, who also scored it was ruled out for handball. Second goal, and then Kristovic eventually scored the winner. Fantasy Mattia Aramu and Leonardo Mancuso linking up at Mantova.
Cool.
Salernitana managed a fantastic comeback in the 93rd minute against
Spezia.
That's why we love them. After going two goals down twice, Kalon bagged and Dianet it twice for Salernitana, awkwardly, because no Salernitana fans celebrated Diaz's goals and they were booing him even when he had a penalty for them.
Oh my god.
They bloody hate him.
He hasn't gotten out.
I don't know why he's playing now.
He didn't feature
at all last season. Why are you playing now? Nagy missed the penalty for Spezia as Salernitana scored all theirs. I bet he was Nagy on the way home. Cagliari beat Carrarese 3-1 thanks to goals from Piccoli, Pavoletti and Prati. Nice to see Luperto setting up fellow new boy Piccoli for the first goal. And that is our Coppa Italia round.
Yes, 20 matches, so feel free to have a breather, bro. A lot. So that was our Coppa rundown, guys. If you're new here, don't forget to like our content, give us a follow, give us a rating if you're listening on Spotify, Apple or wherever the hell you're listening, and do give us some extra love on YouTube because we're new to that. So any likes and subscriptions naturally do help us reach the quota that we're looking to reach.
Thank you very much, by the way, for your action last week, basically, because we said that we were 10 away from 200.
Yeah.
Now we're on 220.
Yeah.
So 30 of you have actually hit subscribe on YouTube. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. It genuinely does mean the world to us.
Drop comments, like.
Yeah, we're looking to grow as much as we can, so we can stop working.
Basically,
and
look, guys, we want to hit the YouTube monetization. Okay, we need 500 subscribers and 3,000 public watch hours.
Yeah.
Telcom.
In your hands.
up to you guys. Thank you very much.
It's up to you.
So and shout this out is to our boys. No, first.
Last call for our fantasy league. It kicks off in just 4 days along with Serie A. We've already got around 20 teams on board. In order to participate, you do need to be a patron. So it's a $3.99 contribution per month. You also get added to a group chat with us where there's daily culture chat and live chats when there are games going on. It's a lot of fun. We've got loads of fans from different teams, from the Minnow sides all the way up to the top. Very knowledgeable people.
From all over the world.
Yeah, from all over the world. So whoever you are, you will
and
certainly fit
in. All the money
in.
Will be reinvested back into the show. You will not see Matt and I wearing Rolexes walking around thanks to the patron money. You don't need to worry about that. It'll probably be spent on a few frames that you'll see behind you, perhaps a camera. One day we're using Matt's iPhone right now, so he can't sext while we do this.
No, I can't. Yeah. I can't, unfortunately. I love sexting.
So, yes, shout out to Ed, Alan, Andy, Lena, Jose, Luke, Tonna, Matteo, Matthias, Luca, Anthony, Michael, David, Kyle, Andrew, Batman, Tim, Campbell, Tanino, Batman, Choco, Loco, Joey D, Tony, David, and Dequan for their contribution. And we also have a few new boys. And the music broke. We've got Keanu, Tyson, Stefan, and Rob. Thank you very much for subscribing, guys. Thank you for your support. And we look forward to having you in our group chat for the rest of the season.
Yeah, apologies for the lack of techno or music. Yes, technical
it's
difficulties
been a,
over
it's been
here.
A nightmare.
We had been swearing with it, but I'd finally just gotten it to work, and it's let us
we'll
down.
We'll go for this one instead.
That's our new favorite one. That's very America. Yeah. Shout out to the Americans, by the way, because we are seeing a lot of love coming from the United States.
Absolutely.
Clearly, you guys love Serie A and maybe need to brush up on your Italian a little bit so you're listening to our updates. We will keep you in mind. Don't you worry.
Absolutely. American fellas. Fucking love you guys.
We fucking love you guys. And coach is right. Shall we begin our ones to watch? So we're going in alphabetical order. Why?
Yes.
Because we're 93 years old.
Exactly. And I have prepared two for each team, just in case we agree.
So I've got some honorable mentions here and there as well. So 3-1, let's get into it. Who is your AC Milan one to watch?
So my one to watch for Milan is Chukwueze this season.
I'm not surprised.
Yes.
What's your reason for that?
So I really like the way he's looked in preseason. Fonseca has taken a liking to him. Mm-hmm.
He's got a temper, huh?
He's got a temper. I saw Ben Nasser
joking with him.
Like, bro, take the joke.
It's relax.
I don't know why that upset him so much, but Salamakers had to like explain to him that it wasn't him. It was Ben Hassan. The Ben Hassan story became really awkward, like as they were lifting the Trofeo Berlusconi.
Update, by the way.
That's gonna be a meme at that video of Milan don't win any silverware. It's gonna be that Berlusconi trophy being lifted all over Twitter.
Milan 3, Monza 1. Monza got the equalizer through, you guessed it, Daniel Maldini, of course.
Absolutely.
So has, I think, 3 professional goals against Milan at this point and 4 professional goals overall. It's crazy.
But Chukwueze, I really liked what I saw at Villarreal.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to Milan, it was a bit complicated for him.
Yeah.
He had injuries, didn't really gel. He got his best games came in the Champions League, to be honest. But now he has a full season ahead. He doesn't have the pressure to hit the ground running because there are players that occupy that position as well, but I feel like he'll do very well this year.
Of course, that means to keep an eye out on Pulisic, as he'll probably advance into a number 10 role, and the number 10s are typically Fonseca's best players. We all know he got Mkhitaryan in double figures that season at Roma, playing behind the striker. I put in Morata because he is the newest key piece in this new system, cemented into the starting 11 as Milan adapt from a Pioli and Giroud system, where Giroud was the target man, to a Fonseca and Morata system, where Morata is a bit more of a deep-lying striker. So this is going to change a lot in the way that Milan attack, whereas before they could rely on Maignan pinging the ball to Giroud or playing a long ball to Giroud and bypassing all of that play. Milan will now utilize someone like Morata, who will give more importance to the wingers and to the attacking midfielder to play in behind. So keep your eyes out on Morata and see what systematic changes come into place because of Morata replacing Giroud.
I'm curious to see his off-the-ball contribution as well. His movement's really good.
His press as well. He's more energetic than someone like Giroud.
Did you watch him yesterday? He looked like he was playing with Timberlands on.
It's true. At a point, he went to make a run off the ball and the ball
hit him in the back.
It was...
And at one point, he took a shot and skied it.
You know what I hate? Oh, God.
That's weird.
So not to, I hate getting into the personal lives of footballers. But do you remember once we said that Morata needs to be in a really good place, because if he's in, not in a really good place, then unfortunately he tends to hit a bad streak on the pitch. Him and his beautiful wife have announced their separation or divorce, which was surprising to me, because on social media you see them all together with the kids having a great time in Milan or whatever. He posted a lovely thing about the mother of his children at the end of the day and said that they just decided to go their separate ways. But I do hope that Morata is in a good place, not only on the pitch, obviously.
Seems to be
but
in a good place, bro. He's got a really healthy glow about him. You know, he's using that Kune green all the way. He's, you know, he's looking healthy. Uh-huh. You know, even Zlatan noticed, because he was like, at Milan, we only sign beautiful people. You know, he said, you heard it, he said that about Morata.
He said Pavlovic needs to grow his hair out now, so he'll be handsome.
I took that personally. Zlatan,
what the fuck, right? Zlatan? What the fuck? Yeah. Yesterday on the plane, there was someone that looked exactly like Zlatan.
Yeah.
Crazy, he was American. It was mental.
And Pavlovic is my honorable mention for players to watch, because I haven't seen a player like, you know, with that grit at Milan in a long time, and they're just fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I just love watching players who will get into a 50-50, get up, you know, taunt the player on the floor. That stuff is what I live for.
Absolutely. Also, it does seem like Milan are finally getting their hands on Fonseca. Fonseca said that Milan are getting their hands on Fofana, which gives me some more hope. It doesn't mean that it's confirmed, because there have been back and forth for ages. But it's good to finally hear some kind of official announcement about it, because he would really be one to watch, because that balance in the midfield is something that's really worrying me about Milan. Because if it's Reinders, Bennacer, and then Pulisic ahead of them, it's very offensive. It's very offensive.
It is, and that was the problem, right? That whole, that gap between midfield and defence last season for Milan.
We need Fofana. Milan need Fofana.
It's true, absolutely. And it's not every day that your coach says, our next signing will be, and just names the player.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm hoping he's right.
Fabrizio Romano, here we land. You've been saying that.
Yes, bro. There we land.
There we land.
There we land.
They're amazing.
Yeah,
he's so cute. Atalanta. I have two. Okay, one's kind of obvious. The other one is,
I've put the obvious one. I've put Retegui. Not only because of what he's gonna do to Atalanta, because we know that Atalanta play a very plug and play system, where it's Gasperini's system, and whoever is brought in, it is to fit the Gasperini system, and if you don't, then you're out. So nothing new to write over there. More like individually, if you look at Retegui, he's been being mentioned for the past 2-3 seasons, ever since he's like been breaking out with the national team, even though he was playing outside of Europe, I believe. But he finally made the leap to a Champions League club and has a huge opportunity with Scamacca's injury. And also the system that he's going to play in is similar to that of Gilardino. So he literally has no excuses. He's in a place where he can grow. And I think he can become a very good striker for Atalanta, a very important player for Atalanta, a staple if he stays injury free.
Yes, and his work rate will never be questioned, because as a player, his industry is top notch. He's a very hard worker, and that's something we've noticed when he broke out on the international scene as well, bro, against Malta. He fucking didn't stop against our measly little country. And last season, we didn't really get to enjoy him at his fullest potential, because he was often injured, you know? So hopefully he gets a new lease of life at Atalanta and has an injury-free season. Mine, since you said Retegui, will be Ruggeri.
Okay.
Because I really liked him last season. I thought he looked really good. And I'm curious to see if he'll get even better.
He's promising, a bit human.
He's human. That's the thing.
He has the Di Lorenzo Calabria factor to him.
He's Italian. He's got that, you know, budgio build. You know,
exactly.
But, you know, that's
he's not a freak of nature, but he's intelligent. He's mature for his age, beyond his years.
He's up and down, I like him. I think he's a very good player. And he's not one who's known for his shooting, but he can often have a crack.
Can have a crack.
And when he does, usually it's very intelligent. It's the right moment. He's got a good... he can judge a situation very well.
True. Bologna are up next. I haven't put any of the big boys, although I do give an honourable mention, obviously, to Dallinga, for example.
I've put him, in fact.
You've put Dallinga, obviously replacing Xerxes, so very important.
I'm just curious to see if he will break this Italiano striker curse. This Vincenzo Italiano striker curse, where basically the number nines haven't been... prolific since the days of Vlahovic, and they've been kind of isolated in his system.
Yeah,
I look forward to see how Dalinga can kind of change that.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Who've you put?
I put Fabian, nice. Because with Ferguson's injury, it's a very good opportunity for Fabian to cement his name in the starting 11, especially after a very positive spell last season as a goal scoring midfielder. That is kind of what Bologna are lacking right now. But with Fabian, I think they can really restore that and have a good playmaker whilst Ferguson is still out injured. I think he should be back December, January. So Fabian certainly has time to cement himself in that role.
He's got an eye for goal. He inserts himself really well, Fabian.
He's very intelligent. Mm-hmm. Very intelligent. Very intelligent. I see his future at Atalanta because I see him very similar to Pasalic.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Intelligence-wise, positional-wise, he can play as an attacking midfielder, can play deeper as well, can play box-to-box.
That's true. So he's kind of like the Frattesi type as well.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, and shout out to Cambiaghi as well. Let's see if he can do it at Bologna.
True,
because he's been out on loan for a long time now.
He can be quite a reliable one since he knows the league quite well, and Dalinga is still very new playing in the French league before.
His numbers have never been high, though, eh? Cambiaghi.
With Empoli, though, you know.
Yeah. Cagliari.
I've put Piccoli.
I've put Zortea.
Ooh.
Yes.
Care to explain?
Yes, I thought Zortea last season looked amazing, to be honest. He looked good at Atalanta, and then they loaned him out to Frosinone, and he looked just as good as well. I think with Cagliari there are a few interesting players like Luvumbo Zito.
Mm-hmm.
You've got hard working midfielders as well who can complement him well. He's playing alongside Luperto.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good place for him to kind of show what he can do offensively.
Yeah,
and especially with Piccoli in the box, you can cross to Piccoli.
True.
Yeah.
I've put Piccoli in fact because I feel like he needs to impress himself. And Cagliari need him to impress. Cagliari will be battling relegation this season once again. They do have a relegation specialist because I think they know what's coming. They haven't invested heavily into the team, got a few good loans. Just to run you through what Piccoli has been doing since 2020, he's been being loaned out by Atalanta ever since. With the likes of Spezia, where he got 5 goals in 20 games. Genoa, where he only played 5 matches and scored none. With Hellas, where he only played 7 matches and scored none. With Empoli, where he played 15 matches and scored 2. And at Lecce, where he played 35 matches and scored 5 goals. So that last season at Lecce, towards the latter stages, he kind of picked it up a little bit when he was playing alongside Krstović. But hopefully he can be the man for Cagliari. He definitely will have supply. Does he have the finishing touch? That's the question.
And that's a good question. I feel like this is one of those players at this point in his career. It's pivotal for him to do well, right? Get a handful of goals, cement your spot in Serie A. So in case your team go down, you don't go down with them.
Exactly. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. That's the thing with these players. And it's often the case with goalkeepers. Like, who was it? Recently I noticed a goalkeeper in Serie B. Sepe, I think.
Could be Sepe.
Yeah. He had cemented himself as a name in Serie A, you know, but it wasn't quite enough.
Yeah, very
but
true.
Anyway, let's keep going.
Next up is Como. I put a very fucking obvious one for Como.
It's another chance for revival, right, for him. It's Bellotti.
Oh, you put Bellotti.
I put Bellotti.
You put Bellotti.
He needs to fucking get over the slump. Now is the time, you know. He's
in a good system for it.
Exactly. And you know, he's a big player compared to this team.
Yeah.
So you can't use the excuse now that you're at Roma or that, you know, I mean, you were the man for Torino for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
Be the man for Como. Revitalize your career.
Very good. I've put Varane because 4 Champions League trophies, 1 World Cup trophy, 3 La Liga trophies, and his experience for a newly promoted side who has such a promising system is going to be absolutely pivotal if he can stay fit because he's already injured. We've already seen him with the ice pack on the knee, which isn't going to be the first time we see that. Isn't going to be the last time we see that this season.
So in that case, keep your eye on Dos Senna.
Exactly.
Just as good.
Dos Senna is very, very, a very tidy defender. We got to see him live and he blew us away for Cagliari as they beat Atalanta 2-1.
He's a wall.
Honorable mention goes to Bellotti naturally, but I've also put in Strefezza because simply he is going to be a key man for Como. He is going to be because he was that key man for Lecce. I was surprised when they let him go. He knows Serie A, he's creative, he's nippy. he's a Sousa type. He is a Sousa type. But he's very, very good. As yeah. Sousa was very good.
And Verdi is there as well. These are all guys who literally want to...
Clutch.
Just as I said, who want to remain in Serie A. Who want to make a name for themselves.
Exactly.
Like, never forget when Verdi scored two free kicks in a game, one with the left, one with the right.
Insane, man. Incredible. Who is he? Fucking Matt Letizier.
Even better, bro.
Empoli.
I put Fazzini.
Oof. That's a good one. New number 10. I love this incredible. this new number 10 shit would put so much pressure on the guy.
He looks amazing, man. He is a dribbler. Mm-hmm. He's got flair about him. He's very intelligent. He can finish as well. He looks very, very promising. And he's young. I believe he's quite young. Let's confirm his
age. I'll never forget.
21 years old.
Yeah. When I was making... On FM, I was making Atalanta All-Italian. Mm. And my midfield at a point... Obviously, they didn't start at the same time. But I had Fazzini attacking mid. I had Faticanti. Faticanti, who was he's actually at Empoli, I think, Faticanti now, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. And the other one was Pobega. That was nice. my trident in the midfield.
That'd be incredible in Serie A. I'm joking. That's a very good one. Giacomo Faticanti.
Yes. He's a ball winner.
He's with Lecce Faticanti. Nowadays.
With Lecce, okay. I'm really hoping to see more of him. He can break down play quite well. I remember seeing YouTube videos of around 19 years old, if I'm not mistaken.
He is 20 years old, yeah.
20 years old. So that's... Intendi, I played that FM last year. I've got Esposito.
He looks fantastic as well.
Esposito, on loan from Inter, naturally, one of the three Esposito brothers. I believe he's the youngest one. He already got a goal and assist against Catanzaro. You can argue Colombo, who has more Serie A experience, more goals in Serie A. But the thing is, we've seen Colombo, and we've seen what he can do. We haven't quite seen what this Esposito guy can do. And he is... highly rated, so I'm excited to see him. He seems like he could play outside the box as like a secondary striker, but also with clean finishing. Mm-hmm. Very young, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he looks good, man. He looks good, Esposito.
He looks, again, intelligent, and he can set his teammates up as well as finish things off.
I'm hoping they're going to play with a two up top system, which I do tend to prefer in teams, him and Colombo. And then obviously when they need a bit more experience, they can bring on Chicho.
Ah, who's still there, by the way?
He's still there. If I'm not mistaken, he's still there. Unless transfer market is lying to me.
Fiorentina.
I think we said the same one here, probably.
I have two, so...
Okay, I've put Colpani.
I'll put Keane then.
Here's my honourable mention. Yeah. I mean, he made the move from Monza together with his coach, Palladino, with whom he has a great relationship. I think it's a good signing for them right now because he will help... get that issue. Now, before you said it was an Italiano issue, and over here in my notes I identified it as a Fiorentina issue, the isolation of the striker, and I think that Colpani and Moise Keane could really help fix that problem. Colpani obviously is known for his forward passing, for breaking into the box and turning something out of nothing, and Keane, I think, as a well-rounded striker, someone that can be a target man, someone that can play a bit outside the area, he'll be very effective. Both also very marketable, so they can also make some money from them in the future. Colpani is a guy that I see him one day maybe being a 60 million man.
Probably, yeah. The way he plays.
He has long hair. Aura. In aura. Purple, oh my God.
And
you have to give him a vintage kit and someone will buy him for 80 million.
But he's also flashy.
Yeah.
And flashiness gives you a lot. If your output is decent and you're flashy, you can sell it for more. Yeah. Keane basically has to redeem himself. Yeah. Again, another one of these cases, another Belotti over here. But worse, you know, Keane last season, 0 goals, 0 assists as a striker for Juventus is absolutely tragic. Mm-hmm. He needs to do better. He has to do better. So keep your eyes on him. See if he'll crack under pressure or if he'll hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
Genoa. This season it's different. Of course, it's always going to be Albert, but we don't know where he's going to be next year, if he's going to stay or not.
Or if he's going to be in prison or not.
He's going to be in prison. But apparently, you know, Fiorentina would only sign him on a loan. Just in case that trial, and there'll be a clause in the contract.
You know what that actually is, the update with the trial. there seems to be they were going to close it. It was closed, but another witness has come on board.
Another person.
A woman has come in.
A separate event or a person?
I think for the same one, they've got a witness and she came in and they reopened the case. And apparently it's around 6 months until there's another verdict now.
Okay, he had been cleared.
Exactly. And then it was reopened because of that. Witness that came in.
I mean, if he's guilty, fuck him, eh?
Yes.
And that's it.
No shit. Yeah. No shit.
So, yes, it'll have to be Junior Mesías.
A humble guy.
You know, the thing is, I put Junior Mesías or Malinowski.
Okay.
Because they're both kind of streaky. One, because of form, Malinowski.
Mm.
And I think maybe his attitude towards training, I'm not sure. But something is up with him because he should be playing more.
Yeah.
Considering how good he is.
Uh-huh.
And then Mesías, because of his injuries, ever since he's left Milan. But
yeah,
we remember what he did at Salernitana. Mesías was a key player, man.
Yes, bro. Yes,
very,
yes,
very good player. A good one for fantasy football.
Mm-hmm. Also, he was a big game player for Milan. Let's not forget that goal against Atletico Madrid.
Absolutely.
When Milan won 1-0, he scored a header. It was amazing. I put Vitinha.
Yes, very good.
I put Vitinha, one sec, because if we drop water on the iPad, it'll be okay, because Apple products. I put Vitinha because it's his first full season at Genoa, and we'll get to see him playing more because of Retegui's departure. Especially Albert will definitely play as a striker, and Vitinha playing behind him could be something very exciting. He's very technically gifted and seems like an all-rounder as well. Yeah. So I've put Vitinha. He also flopped at Marseille. He's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder, so he has a lot to prove.
Yeah, Vitinha is going to be exciting this season, I think. He has big boots to fill and, again, a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. Inter. Interesting. This was a tough one because they're the champions.
And their team is unchanged.
Yeah. I've put in Zielinski. Because he's one of the few new faces in the squad and he's kind of destined to step in for the aging Mkhitaryan. They have a similar play style, they have an identical role within the team. Like, he's not coming in here, Zielinski isn't coming in here to compete with Barella or with Calhanoglu. He's going in there to compete with Mkhitaryan. And he's 30 years old, Mkhitaryan is 35 years old. That switch can come. Is it going to be an upgrade or is it not? That's the question. But pressure is on Zielinski because Mkhitaryan, despite his age, he seems to be carrying out his role close to perfectly.
Yeah, despite being a White Walker from Game of Thrones.
I don't get that because I never watched Game of
Thrones.
They're
dead, basically.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay.
Because yeah. It always impresses me how much he gives, how much he's got in the tank.
Yeah.
Mkhitaryan,
yeah.
Man. Especially when he starts, like, he gets the ball at the halfway line, he just bursts. You know, he just does that little burst of pace. It's never long. It's never a long stretch of ground.
No.
It's a short stretch, but he covers it really quickly.
Yeah,
yeah, he's good. I've put Taremi. Because last season they didn't have a third striker. Arnautovic was terrible and Sanchez only came to life at the end of the season, so Taremi might give some breathing space for Lautaro and Thuram.
They're really having a hard time to offload Arnautovic, man.
They're trying to give him to Genoa in exchange for Albert Gudmundsson.
Ah, nice. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. that'll work. Exactly. If they manage to pull that off, it's another fucking masterclass by, what's his name, man?
Marotta.
I was going to call him Miretti.
Morliti.
Juve.
Cabal.
What?
Cabal? He joined from Verona and he's a beast. He's another animal.
You've put him for Juve.
I've put him as and I'm curious to watch him. I can't wait to watch him and to see how Motta does with him.
Okay.
And then you second.
Think start? No.
Potentially so. Not, but maybe. Who knows? Maybe eventually, as in he might prove himself, you know. And if not, I mean, there are many for Juve, to be honest. Cambiaso, I'm curious to see how he does. he has his first full season over there. Vlahovic under a new manager as well.
I have that as an honorable mention.
Who's your one to
Douglas
watch?
Luiz. Great business to bring him in. And he's going to be centered to the new Motta system. I think all the players are going to go through him. Also, very interested to see where he's going to play because they also have Kefren Thuram, who looks very good. And they're also closing in on Coop Miners, who's refusing to train for Atalanta at the moment because he's forcing his way out. Risky move by Coop Miners, by the way, because he has absolutely no guarantee that Juve can afford him or if Juve will manage to land him. And if he fucks up with Gasperini, he can kiss the season goodbye. He'll end up playing for their reserve team.
Yes, he's a very bitter garden gnome, Gasperini.
Yes. So I've put him. I think he's going to be one of the best midfielders in the league this year. Douglas Luiz.
Yeah,
hailed absolutely. As world class.
But I'm kind of expecting him to just do really well from the get-go, you know.
Right, yeah. But we have absolutely no guarantee it's of true. That because it's he's true. Changing leagues. And to be honest, I haven't seen him play a day like.
I really haven't all. Either. But I've heard so many good things. I've heard world class being thrown
out. Yes, bro. Yes.
Lazio.
Who did you put for Lazio?
So it was between two, but I'm going to go for Castrovilli.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the one I put.
Did you put Nun?
No, I put Tati.
Oh, Tati. Nice. I was going to put Tati. But then I remembered Castrovilli's there, and I'm curious to see how he'll do away from Fiorentina. Maybe a new environment where he can put his injury history behind him and try to hit the ground running. He's a proper fantasista, Castrovilli, as well. He's fun to watch. He's one of those unique breed of players that, you know, Colpani's kind of like that. Fazzini kind of gives that vibe as well.
Yeah.
And they're always fun to watch. So
That's true. If he could stay injury free, even at if he wasn't so injury prone at Fiorentina, he could have played a massive role, man. There were seasons where he was the guy in midfield for them. I put Tati Castellanos because this is. So before we were all about because this guy hasn't played in Serie A. We've only seen him play in the MLS, I believe. But then he had a good stint at Girona, where I believe he had gotten around 13 goals in 35 matches. But now he has a season, tried and tested, where he was learning from Ciro Immobile and rotating with Ciro Immobile. Now they kind of have this new system where he's not trying to fit into a Sarri system and then changing halfway through the season with Tudor and has to fucking be in that very unsettled environment. Now Lazio have a system, and their number nine in that system is Tati Castellanos, who seems to be very intelligent, just a little bit streaky. So I'm interested to see, with his head a bit clearer and with a year of experience in Serie A, how much better he's going to be. Is he going to be one of the best in the league, or is he going to be shit? Quite frankly,
this was something I was really debating in the fantasy thing, because there are like four big strikers and then the rest are pretty much all the same price. So you can go for like Lorenzo Lucca, you can go for Retegui, you can go for Castellanos. They're all the same price, and I was in my head about
it. It's a head scratcher.
Because in a draft, you kind of, you have a budget.
Yeah.
You can feel things out. You can say too rich for my blood, you know, too expensive. You have your own value for players. The fact that it gives you the value and you can just take anyone is...
It's interesting.
You spoiled for choice.
I'm happy with my my team. I'll revisit it on Friday night anxiously.
I'm definitely going to revisit it as well.
Okay, next.
Shout out Nuno Tavares.
Yes. Very curious about him. And very curious to see this new look Lazio. To be honest, I'm so curious to watch every single one of these teams, man. I'm so fucking curious.
It's a shame I'm going to miss the entire match day.
Your friend getting married. At least mine had a decency, because I just got back from a bachelor's and Jake is heading to a bachelor's tomorrow.
We basically live identical lives, the way things align.
Yeah, it's just one of us has a better beard and the other one has a better hairline.
One of you has a hairline, the other one has a beard.
Yes, literally. Lecce. I put Gaspar.
Kiolando. You know that's his name, Kiolando.
Kiolando Gaspar.
Yeah.
Kiolando Gaspar. He's already opened his account in the air.
And he looked solid at the back as well. Huh?
New centre-back partner for Baskerotto, his third in as many seasons. One day it's Umtiti, the next day it's Pongracic, and now it's Gaspar. Could this be a Lecce coup? We'll wait and see. So far, good things. Just want to see more of him defensively.
I've put Filip Marchwinski. He's a new signing from Lech Poznan. He played 125 games.
Oh, I saw something about him.
And scored 19 goals. He's also featured for Poland, only twice though. He is, how old is he? Why the fuck does
first line play? Will tell you, I think.
It's a good thing it's all in Italian.
Let's see. You don't know 20 anni or whatever.
He's 22 years old, 22. Yes. And he is 1.87 meters.
He's over 6
tall.
Foot.
Yes, he's quite a quite big for his position. He plays behind the strikers, so he kind of inserts himself.
Although Ilicic vibe here, huh?
Yeah, but he doesn't like to dribble.
Okay.
He likes to...
Is that a one-touch kind of guy?
Yeah, he receives the ball in space. He'll hold on to it as long as there's space, but he'll release before he's closed down. You won't see him attempting a dribble,
Is he much of a forward passer? Or does he typically lay it off?
No, he's a creative player, bro.
Okay.
Yes, from
so
what I've
like
seen.
So not like closer to go laying it down, but...
No, he's forward. Like, he won't be the target man.
Interesting, yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, and watching him kind of... there's Rafia as well. There's what's his name in that position as well. Can play Udon. So minutes are not totally guaranteed for Marchvinsky. But he's definitely going to be a player I'm going to keep my eye on.
Cool.
Also because of his size. I like that.
He looks good. I had a look at him as well. I was quite... As in just at his profile kind of thing. And I'm very curious about him as well. Monza. I put Daniel Maldini, and to be honest, I'm kind of disappointed that Milan let him go, because last season, towards the latter stages, when he was coming in, I thought he looked really good.
He has been looking good.
And there's a lot for Daniel Maldini to prove, because he always had Milan within touching distance of him, because of his father's involvement. He was being loaned out, he was being protected. I think certain players were saying nice things about him to maybe honour the Maldini family, saying he's a future Ballon d'Or winner, so on and so forth. He was being loaned out, and it kind of seemed like he could always have Milan to call home. But now he's made his first permanent move away. Now he is starting a new legacy for the new generation of Maldini, which is at Monza, a club where he looked very good at last season. And he's already reopened his account against his former club, Milan. I think that's his second or third goal against Milan, which is fucking crazy.
It's not a matter of... it's not simply because of his surname that he's a professional.
No, he's good.
He's very technically gifted. Mm-hmm. Yes. And sometimes when he starts dribbling, he flows, man.
Yes, bro. You know, and when his he gets shots rhythm, from outside the box.
He's good. He has the worst thing about him is his surname, poor guy, because he has a point to prove constantly. Yeah. You know, he's constantly under a microscope. Anytime you feature it for Milan, everyone's like, let's see.
Exactly.
You know, like at least
I always liked him, man. Yeah. I like Daniel Maldini. I'll be rooting for him hardcore.
Absolutely. Just to be different, I'm going to put Omari Forsen from Manchester United. Let's see what he can do, 19 years
old.
Yeah, midfielder. Yeah.
Honorable mention, I also put Sensi because he's back.
He's not back.
He's not
he
back.
He got injured yesterday.
But he's back at Monza. Because he was there 2 seasons ago, then he had to rejoin Inter, and now he's back at Monza, no?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Excited to see what Sensi can do. Hopefully it's not what he's already done for the past few seasons, which is
Play three matches and then get injured. I always really liked Sensi, like a very technical player,
he's good,
smart player.
He's the Ben Nasser, Torreira type of player, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
But he's too injury prone, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, next is Napoli. Aha, this I for some reason I found this to be one of the toughest ones to do, because with Conte's system, I'm expecting great change with Zielinski being out. Who's that third midfielder gonna be? Who are the two up top gonna be? For that reason, see how smart you are. But I put Gvara as my one to watch because I simply don't know how he's going to adapt to this new system as the star man with Osimhen now out. Where he's going to play, is he going to be behind the striker, is he going to be alongside fucking Raspadori, or is he going to be alongside Lukaku, or is he going to be alongside Giovanni Simeone? There are so many question marks that just because he is their star player and there's so much uncertainty around what his role is going to be, that I put him. I also put Buongiorno as an honourable mention because he could help sweep up a lot of the bullshit that they had for the past few seasons.
So, Gvara. So far it seems like he opted for a 3-4-3 in that cup game.
Mm-hmm.
With Gvara and Politano out wide. I think that's the natural way to go. And like that, you get the best out of Politano and Gvara. Mm-hmm. For the exact same reason as you, I put Politano. Because Conte historically uses a 3-5-2, right? Gvara can slot in next to the striker. I feel he's versatile enough to do it. However, Politano will end up without a position in that situation. So I'm curious to see how he'll use one of the best players of Napoli last season.
Would you be so shocked if he started him as a right wing back And perhaps Di Lorenzo will be a makeshift right center back.
I would be very surprised because Politano doesn't offer you much defensive hustle.
Neither did Victor Moses or Ashley Young. But he made them do that.
Defensively, especially Moses, they have size. Mm. Even Young, to be honest, they have size and grit. Politano is all about technique, you know.
Also, bro, I just want to point out. All those boys that were out on loan, they're back, eh? There's Kedira, Folorunsho, Gaetano, Zerbin.
All of them are back.
Interesting to see how they're going to be utilized. A new lease of young blood.
I thought
in a Conte system.
That Conte would love Folorunsho, right? But apparently they've had beef. Apparently they fell out. They argued.
Folorunsho, be careful, Michael.
Be careful, Mike.
Try not to step on his toes because he'll make everyone forget you've ever existed.
Yeah, absolutely. Parma.
I think there's only, there's not only one right answer because they've got loads of good players.
Yeah, excluding Dennis Mann.
Ah, come on. No, don't do that. I put Dennis Mann. I put Dennis Mann because he's going to be a top player in Serie A, especially his confidence must be quite high after how he helped Romania in the Euros as well. He just hit 100 appearances for Parma. He had many opportunities to leave, but he went down with them. He's going back up. Keep your eyes on Dennis Mann. I also think Bonny
is
interesting. Barnaby is very interesting.
And Koulibaly, the defender, is Koulibaly, very good. Uh-huh. He likes to involve himself in the attack. But yes, Bonny has played 72 games for Parma and has been there since 2021.
He's 20, bro.
Yes.
He's like 20.
He's only 20 years old. And he's got this burst of pace and power that's really fun. That could be useful. 6'2" as a striker. He was previously with Châteauroux. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Châteauroux. Whenever there's an X in French, I fuck up. I stop talking.
Start grunting. Exactly.
So that's you.
Might as well haven't used this at all.
It's true.
Yeah. So, Roma. Have you heard Dybala, by the way? Yeah. Has been Fabrizio Romano, that he's going to Al-Addisa.
It's Al-Addisa al-Madonna.
Al-Aziostia.
Il-Addisostia.
Al-Azia, apparently, yes. They're closing in on an agreement with Dybala on a 3-year contract. His 12
million release clause, yes, it's happening.
They're triggering his 12 million release clause. It's no longer valid.
Okay.
Yes, so they're
because there was he had to play a certain amount of games and that wouldn't stand anymore.
That's ridiculous. So more pressure on Sule, and that's why he's my one to watch. Dybala's out.
I have a lot to say about this. We have a question about it, but doing this 4 days before the season starts, when you seem so unprepared to lose a player like Dybala, to me is
it's bizarre,
mind boggling. But yeah, who's your one to watch for Roma?
It has to be. Okay, I'm curious. I can't wait to watch Dovbik, but Sule's my one to watch.
Okay.
Because he's so raw, and I'm curious to see how he'll adapt to the system. He's an unrefined diamond, you know? He's got all the talent in the world, but he's too explosive. He's too raw, man. That's it. I think he needs to be domesticated. He's like a wild cat, you know? He's trying to domesticate this cat, trying to get it to use the litter, not scratch the sofa and all the shit. So, that's it.
I told you there was a fox at our accommodation, by the way. It kept coming out at night.
No, you didn't mention.
That was basically Sule, just coming out.
Exactly. Good luck training it.
I put Dovbik or Dobvik. I think it's
Dovbik.
Dovbik. I've put Dovbik.
Which is hard because we've been saying Dovbik this entire time.
It's true. But Dovbik, firstly, coming off what he's done in La Liga, he earned himself the Pichichi trophy. He got 24 goals in his debut season.
That's what they call it,
the Pichichi. He also got himself 8 assists, and also just that striker role for Roma, they've struggled to satisfy that striker role. They had Tammy for that one season, that as an English debutant got the most goals in his debut season, and then after that he fell off. And then they brought in Lukaku. They had that weird thing that they had with that young Spanish striker. I forgot his name. He was a Real Madrid guy.
Don't do this to me,
He was good at holding the ball up when your team was winning.
I know exactly.
Borja Mayoral.
Valero, I was going to say.
So they haven't settled with a striker, and I think they have this guy who has a lot to offer, a fuck ton to offer. He just outscored people like bloody Bellingham and Vinicius Junior, Lewandowski. There's that Villarreal guy as well, who I think is signing for Atletico Madrid now. But they have a world-class striker now. They have a world-class striker. He's good, both good at assisting, at scoring. Yeah. Just for the Rossi system, he looks perfect.
I can't remember the last time a Serie A side brought in the top scorer of a top three.
Exactly.
Yes. And it's, so very exciting. Yes.
I love him because he said, I'm getting all these offers, but I want to play for Roma. Like, I don't care if that team is offering more. And this similar with Solé as well. He was wanted in the Prem. These two guys that they signed wanted Roma. They were in awe. I heard the story, bro. Solé was taken to watch a Roma match. Was given tickets by Dybala, if I'm not mistaken.
Inshallah.
And he took him there, and he just fell in love with the fan base. So, and Dobrovic as well, he said there's a clearer project over there. I love Rome as a city. That's where I want to be. These two guys, they chose Roma. There was all that demand. They're like, no, get me that move to Roma. So both of these guys are going to play with their heart on their sleeve.
It's hard not to be impressed by Roma, the Olimpico. You have De Rossi as the manager. You've got the whole Roma at the beginning. It's huge. It's a show every single time. Mm-hmm. Speaking of show, Torino.
The Torino show.
Shea Adams.
Yeah. Will he displace Sanabria?
Uh-huh. That's
in Serie A, his league. He struggled to do it in the Prem, but he was doing great in the Championship. Great for a Vanoli system because of his press. Very interesting signing. I'm not too confident he'll hit the ground running, but
he was brought in to serve. There's exactly. Less pressure when you're serving. If you had to finish off the chances and it's Shea Adams, you're looking at the wrong profile. The fact that you have Duvan Zapata over there, I think he'll complement him nicely.
Yeah,
and I think that's the right
the
answer.
The right answer. Udinese. Speaking of, we're saying that Fazzini is the new number 10 of Empoli. They have a new number 10. They have a new captain as well. Yes. And his name is Thuvon, who racked up a goal and two assists in the Coppa already. Got given number 10, the captain's armband. And in their quest to avoid the relegation battle, because I don't think it's Udinese's objective to not get relegated. I think they want to avoid being in the relegation battle. Because that's where they have to be, Udinese as a club.
That's the same ambition of Monza, I was hearing Nesta saying. Like, the primary objective is don't get relegated, but obviously we want to have a good season as high as possible.
Exactly. I think this guy, Thuvon, looked really, really good in preseason and looked really good in the Coppa. I think he's their best player. By some distance, their most influential player, their smartest player.
World Cup winner,
I guess. So Thuvon, he's going to be the center of everything for them. But I think I know who you're going, and it's hard not to go that route.
I have two. I have Lorenzo Lucca, obviously, because I want to see what he can do in his second season in Serie A. He hit the ground running last season. Lorenzo Lucca, obviously.
I wonder if this is the song I think it is. We'll discuss that later.
Yeah. Sanchez as well. I can't wait to watch him.
That's
a move that's dying out in the modern game. Everyone's off to Saudi. Everyone's off to bloody... Before it was China. It was America.
Qatar as well. Yes. Like Luis Alberto.
You have Dybala joining Addisa Madonna. Like, it's up. Like, what the fuck's going on? He's still a great player. Like, you have N'Golo Kante playing in Saudi. Like... Benacer might end up going there.
Well, at least the MLS is a bit more in the picture.
Yes.
Like, when someone goes to the MLS, the MLS is a bit sexier. It's a bit more... You get to see them on Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel and all these. At least they become a bit more Hollywood. But like, I can't wait to see Giroud on these shows, you know?
But you know what, bro? Saudi is helping Serie A a lot. Because they're selling, bro. They're giving teams a lot of money. So,
they are,
I guess at the end of the day...
I won't get into the morality of the whole thing. I'm not educated enough. But yes. thank you for the paychecks.
Venezia.
Poyan Paolo, Poyan Pom Pom.
Same here. I put him because I want to see if he can do it in Serie A.
Exactly.
He's been one of those prolific
He's currently injured.
He's been one of the prolific strikers in Serie B for a while now.
Yes,
so he's like Poyan Paolo, Coda, Tutino.
Last season, top scorer the season before, second behind La Padula.
La Padula as well. Nice. I also have Oristanio, who I want to see as well. He did pretty well at Cagliari.
Yeah. Was very good against Atalanta when we were there. Obviously, Busio and Tessman, will they still be there? Especially Tessman being heavily linked to Fiorentina. But I really like them as a partnership. I hope they stay put. There needs to be this element of let's do it together sometimes, man. When you go up from Serie B to Serie A, sometimes, like Xabi Alonso told Leverkusen, I'm not gonna fucking leave. None of you are fucking leaving. Because next is the Champions League. Let's fucking do this together, man. I want to see a bit more of that from Serie B teams coming up. Like, they instantly sell out. I need to see a bit more of that for Bologna, for example. They're all go.
Yeah.
Motta goes one way, their fucking top scorer goes another way,
their best centre-back goes another way. You have these teams that work so well together. I remember that Ajax team that had gone
that
far.
That Ajax team, that Dortmund
team.
Yeah,
man, there have been so many of them. And they
Hummels,
just absolutely destroy them.
Götze.
I think Atalanta managed to keep it going for a while. They had a good thing going with Papu, Ilicic, Duvan, Muriel. Those guys were there for a long time. Yeah, so it is. It's true. It's nice to see the Leverkusen way, let's call it.
Yeah.
Verona, the last team.
Oh, God. I'm just mainly curious to see how Mosquera adapts to playing on turf, to playing on actual grass. He has great size and strength. Technical ability looks limited, even when playing in the Colombian league against, let's say, not the most talented opponents. But he is a Hellas Verona signing. And Hellas gets someone out of fucking nowhere, and they're randomly the best. And they flip them and they make money. Think of Noslin. Think of... every single episode. What's his name? Donald went to Napoli. every single episode. Leader.
Ngonj.
They always do this.
They've also brought in another striker, though, who can also play on the wing. He's 24 years old, 6 feet tall. His name is Kasper Tengsted.
Ooh.
And he's the guy who scored in the Coppa Italia.
Okay.
He was bought from Benfica, where he played 21 games and scored 4 goals. Which isn't bad in the Portuguese league at all.
Very competitive league nowadays.
So having him coming in on loan is pretty interesting. I'm curious to see what he can do. On loan.
On loan.
That's Mourinho.
Hello. He's so funny,
He's
man.
He's the best.
So we jump.
And Suslov, honorable mention, because he was so good last season.
Yes. He'll be pivotal for them in their quest to avoid relegation.
We were late with our questions, so we asked on our group chat only. We got quite a few good ones.
But let us know, guys, who you agree with these ones to watch, even though it's a very subjective thing. But let us know who...
We want to hear your opinions.
Yeah, who are you going to keep an eye out? If you want to send us your breakdown and your list of 20...
We love reading them.
We have so much fun. Yeah. We're obsessed with this shit, so the more opinions we see, the better. And that's what we want to do. We want to create a community where we can share these opinions. If we could have all of you in the studio with us right now, we'd do it.
It's my house, so preferably not.
Okay. So shall we start with the question segment,
yes,
bro?
Yes, let's begin with... Dequan. He asks, the best team in the transfer window till now. So we have an update now. It's this is the most recent we've ever recorded, obviously.
Today, so I said Juve last time, and I will stick with my decision of Juve because of the cleaning out process that is as important as the, especially for a team like Juve, who's expenditure is ridiculous on how much they spend on wages. The fact that they're getting rid of Szczesny, they're getting rid of Chiesa, and they're getting rid of some of these guys that Chiesa heavily linked to Milan, by the way. And that Kalulu move, I don't know. There's something cooking over there.
Is a strange one, isn't it?
Especially there's something happening there, bro.
I think maybe the injuries... They believe they'll repeat. I don't know, because letting him go for essentially it's what 3.5 million loan with a 14 million option plus 2 million bonuses.
That's how it is.
Something like that. Something really strange, and it doesn't even reached amount to 20 million.
Uh-huh.
So I think Milan might have given up on Kalulu, which is sad because he looked so good in the Scudetto season.
But so, anyway, the best team in the transfer window, I would say Juve.
Same.
Who do you think the worst have been?
Juve or Como? The worst? Venezia.
Venezia. To be honest, I'm quite disappointed with Atalanta, especially if they lose. So the fact that they've retained Gasperini is the biggest thing. But with Scamacca injured, okay, now they've brought in Retegui, which is good, but it's like that direct swap. But if they lose Coop Miners, I don't think they seem prepared.
They've brought in Godfrey.
Godfrey. And
Homer, this is God. Free Jones.
Used to crack me up. Okay, so Steve, that's that.
Steve, Roma fan, asks, what are we thinking about Roma and the Dybala rumors?
Here we go.
Romano saying he's quite close to switch to Saudi with agreements in place. What does that mean for Roma? Does that trigger Roma to go for Chiesa? I think it does. I think they move for Chiesa now. I think they have leverage, so they can get him on favorable terms. The question is, why? I'd much rather have Dybala, and they're both inconsistent because of injuries.
I agree. I think if there is any logic behind removing Dybala, I think part of that logic is the fact that he's injury prone and that he takes up X amount of wages. Uh-huh. So why would they bring in Chiesa, who's going to bring in the exact same problem?
Unless he's willing to settle or cut down his wages, which I highly doubt. But they might get an injection of cash as well from the Dybala deal, because it'll be more than his measly release clause.
True. I'm just hoping that Roma have something up their sleeves. Look, it's okay to let go of players, but your star man... Yeah, and Dybala is the kind of player that could really help players like Sule and Dovbik settle in, because he gels a team. He made Lukaku look so good for certain matches. And it's just a shame. They don't seem prepared to lose him at all, similar to Atalanta and Coop Miners. They have to have something up their sleeve. It's way too opportunistic.
Eh? Mm-hmm. I mean, they saw an opportunity. I think they have something up their sleeve. You're right. They're definitely going to do something. Is it the right choice? We have yet to see. Probably it'll be the right choice financially, as it always is. That always takes priority, right? In these situations.
Just crazy, in my opinion. It really is.
Tyson, Napoli fan, asks a fantastic question. If you could build a dream Serie A, which teams would you replace, and with which teams would you replace them? So, historic and iconic teams, for example.
Yeah, which ones would you bring up, and which ones would you relegate?
So I put together my ideal 20 for a league. Of course, this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
These are my favorites. Okay, so I have Milan and Inter. I prioritize the rivalries, right? Milan, Inter, and then Juve and Torino. Roma, Lazio, Genoa, Sampdoria for the Lanterna Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Fiorentina and Bologna. Lecce, Palermo, and Napoli for that southern touch, as well as Salernitana. Atalanta must be there. Hellas Verona have to be there as well. Parma, Cagliari, you have to throw in Sardinia as well. Venezia, let's add more boat trips, fuck it. And then Bari, because their stadium is lit. I don't know if I'm missing anyone. Brescia, I feel like I'm missing historically. Udinese are missing as well. But I never actually had a soft spot for Udinese, you know what I mean?
These are all cool. I like the league as it is. And I like the natural progression that gets teams to where they stand right now in history. If I could make slight tweaks, I would bring up Sampdoria and Palermo. Sampdoria specifically for their history, their very rich history, and the Lanterna Derby. Palermo because they're a very iconic and historic team as well, historically starting many a great player's careers. And I would perhaps replace them... I would bring those up in place of Verona and Lecce, because I think Verona have worked their way into this bad position that they find themselves in, and I think they should be punished for it, same way Sassuolo were punished.
But Lecce have such a passionate fan base, bro, and it's like a southern team that's so well
Lecce
run.
And
historically, they've been around as well.
Historically, Lecce have always been battling relegation, bro.
But that's where they are. That's Lecce, man, and they manage to survive more often than not.
But they're the team I would kind of put down. I'd hang on to the new look teams. I'd hang on to Monza and Como, for example. FBI, open up! I'd obviously hang on to these new teams that are about to about to rewrite their history and about to start a new thing in Serie A. I don't think we should over celebrate the teams that were here in the past. I like the progression of teams.
I like the mixture of, you know, you have northern teams, you have southern teams, you have the island teams, you have a bit of representation from everywhere. That's the best thing you can do to get the most authentic Serie A. That's, you know, every game is an expression of culture, fixture.
That's kind of what I'm looking to do here as well. With, I mean, Palermo.
Palermo, you do have a Sicilian. Gives team, you, yes. But then Sicilian. Southern Italy, you don't have many. What do you have?
Southern Italy, I mean, there's Napoli. That's pretty much it, I think. And whoever else is Southern in the current league, I mean.
Fair enough. Lecce are the only ones apart from.
Ciao.
So yes, good question. Thank you very much, Tyson. Let's move on to the next one. David Vavra asks, what players are going to be crucial in the relegation battle?
Did you skip?
Good question.
So I put I think that the teams that are mainly going to be battling relegation are Venezia, Verona, Parma, Lecce and Empoli. For Venezia, I put Poyan Paolo. I think he'll be crucial considering that he's the guy that can rack up the goals. For Verona, it's hard because I know they'll make so many January transfers that will probably reshape who is going to be the key person in that team. But I do think that Harrui is going to be a consistent name in that starting 11. He looked quite impressive for Frosinone last season as well when he was starting. I think he had picked up a knock or something. For Parma, naturally, Dennis Mann. For Lecce, I put Udon. I think he's their best player. And for Empoli, I put their young Italians, Esposito and Colombo, namely.
I also think that goalkeepers always play a big part in these situations. So, for example, Montepo might have a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Okoye for Udinese, maybe. And even Monza, did they ever get that deal over the line? No, wait.
I don't think so.
So whoever their goalkeepers might have to come into it as well.
Uh-huh.
But yes, I think Daniel Maldini will play a big part for Monza, of course. And these lone players usually man end up trying to save the teams, honestly. Yeah, so Oristanio for Venezia. Maybe Dennis Mann for Parma.
Definitely.
You know?
Definitely. I think you skipped a question.
Have I?
It's a kit ranking question.
Whoops. I probably subconsciously skipped that one on purpose because kits really aren't my thing. I'm not someone who looks at every single kit of every single team and kind of like,
I just hope my team has a lit
exactly
kit.
That's like, it or if there's a nice one I'll notice it. You know, I'm a big fan of Napoli's minimal away kit, the white one, lovely kit. And I'm a big fan of the kit that he didn't like, Lazio's third kit.
I don't like Lazio. I think it's their away kit, the yellow one. Seems like everyone's going
like
mental about
it. I like minimal kits.
I really don't like it that much.
And the Udinese kit, I'm going to buy it immediately because the meme on the side. It's got the ugliest sponsor I've ever seen.
Literally.
And I thought Palermo's was the ugliest.
It's like a sentence,
the old Wild West. Yes. It's like Eoson or something. Like, bro, it's ridiculous.
It's weird.
Udinese sponsor. But the Pepe meme on the sleeve is elite.
I think I just put my favorite and least favorite. My favorite has to be, and I'm going to get one for sure, is Juve's third kit. It's so cool. You could wear it with like linen pants and you look fire on a night out. Like it's ridiculously cool with the vintage Adidas logo in the corner, the vintage Juve logo as well on the other side. It's really, really cool. My least favorite has to be Inter's home kit with no bias whatsoever. Those two different patterns together, just it doesn't fucking work for me at all, man.
Milan's,
bit of bias.
Milan's kit is almost perfect.
Literally. I like the white. Not the white on the left. But I like the white shorts for Milan.
I like the white shorts, I like the white collar. I like the white skirting, or whatever the hell you'd call it, trimming, like the white trim. Yeah.
But it does give it a bit of a sporty feel, the white lat.
Oh, I don't like
it. It makes it a bit sporty.
It makes it look sporty.
The away kit of Milan is perfect. Yes, that's the the red and black stripe on the collar. Oh my God, bro. And the nice font of the Fly Emirates as well. Really, really cool.
Yeah. Joey D.
In a place to be.
Asks, who will have more goal contributions this season between these players? So the first matchup is Yildiz and Sule.
Sule is...
goal contributions, remember. So it's goals and assists. Yeah.
Sule will get more game time than Yildiz. Yildiz will be a bit more rotational as he was last season, I would imagine. And Sule also takes penalties and he might be on penalties for them.
Does Dobvik take penalties? Probably, yeah.
I'm not sure. But Sule definitely took penalties last season and he looked great. He only missed one out of like six.
I tend to agree with you, yes, Sule. But I do think Yildiz will be quite quite good. Fazzini and Barnaby. Fazzini.
Barnaby.
All right, nice. We disagree. I love that.
I think Parma's system... Bonny isn't going to be the guy scoring the goals. It's going to be Dennis Mann. It's going to be Barnaby. It's going to be Mihailar, whoever is going to be playing on the left. And I think that allows Barnaby to step in and get some more goals. He scored more than Bonny last season.
I think Fazzini... had a really good year last season, Serie B, Barnaby.
Fazzini might need to feed the strikers a bit more. Considering that I think from what it seems like they'll be playing with a two up top. Uh-huh. And he might be there to feed them a bit.
Yeah, could rack up those assists. Huh? Mm-hmm. Luca and Piccoli.
Luca.
Agreed. Yes.
Certainly. Yeah. Playing with his back towards goal, getting the final touch. Piccoli is similar, but he doesn't quite have the technique and the size that Luca has. This is a great question.
Cutrone or Poyanpalo?
Poyanpalo.
Cutrone.
Cutrone, really?
Yes.
Do you think he'll start though, Belotti?
I think he'll get enough minutes to actually outscore Poyanpalo. I just think Como are more likely to score goals than Venezia.
I just wonder how much Cutrone is going to play. That's the thing. That's the thing that made me say Poyanpalo. Because Poyanpalo is going to start every single game unless he gets injured.
It's true. And Cutrone and Belotti offer very similar things. Yeah? We're just head down, sprinting. Yeah. Like, probably Cutrone is a more natural finisher, funnily enough. I think Belotti's better in the... like further from goal, but Lottie's better than that.
True. Interestingly enough.
Andrew Batman says, we might say that three teams overperformed last season versus those with bigger budgets or expectations. Atalanta, fourth, won the Europa League, lost the cup final. Bologna, fifth place, even with injuries, for example, Ferguson. And Fiorentina, eighth place, 3 points behind Roma, semi-cup final, final of the Conference League. Do we think this season they improve, do the same, or won't be able to repeat based on factors like managers coming in, end of their cycle, etc.
Based on all factors.
Yeah, so Atalanta, basically. Bologna, and Fiorentina.
I think Atalanta
will struggle and do worse.
I think Atalanta and Bologna will safely do worse.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I think those will safely do worse. Roma.
Fiorentina.
Ah, there's Fiorentina as well.
Fiorentina, who finished eighth.
Let me exclude them a bit because I haven't thought about them. I didn't see that there's Fiorentina there. Atalanta and Bologna will certainly, in my opinion, do worse.
Uh-huh.
I think Roma do better. I think Fiorentina, I think it's an achievement for Fiorentina if they end where they ended last season. I was seeing other people and other platforms saying that now they have to now go for Europa League. It's like, chill out, they have the youngest manager in the league now. They're starting afresh after 2-3 seasons with Italiano where they made all those cup finals. Now they're bringing in some new players. They brought in a new manager. It's going to be a totally new
system.
They're
young. They don't have many aging players.
I think if they don't regress, it's an achievement. Because then they can start to build. See what worked, what didn't, and then they can start to build.
Yes. Now, Tyson... put us a bit on the spot.
Tyson, you went crazy, bro.
He asked us to predict everything. When will you die? When will you marry? No, no. He asked,
I didn't get to prep much for this. I think we should do it
so
like
difficult.
I think we should do it like a quick fire.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it quick fire. Player of the year.
Oh God! Oh God! How can this be quick fire? Player of the year. The player of the year is typically of a league winner. I guess Lautaro Martinez.
Guevara.
Cool.
Young player of the year.
Ah, Solé.
Good show. Fazzini.
Ooh, for relegated them.
You know what, man? I don't know. Our predictions are going to change so much on the course of the next 2 weeks.
Yes, yes, you're fucking
bro. Because Empoli actually impressed me a bit. I would put Venezia lost and Empoli fighting. Whatever. We'll see.
We know what was on the line.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Predictions stay.
Golden boot, Lautaro.
Vlahovic, just because I said that last episode.
Assist king, I had the Dybala last episode.
I had Dovbik, I'm gonna stay with it, even though it's one of the wildest things I've ever said in my life.
I'll say Chukwueze, fuck it. Golden glove.
Di Greg.
Di Gregorio, agreed. One to watch.
Player or team?
Player.
Player. Fuck. Ooh. Douglas Luiz.
Nice, lovely. I'm going to put Albert again.
Oof.
Yes, because it doesn't matter where he goes. He's always
true,
fun to watch.
True.
He's the type of player you buy a ticket to the stadium for.
Mm-hmm.
Rookie of the year.
Now, rookie is someone that just came. That's
yes,
his first
so
season
I'm gonna
in
put
the league.
Douglas Luiz.
I took a different approach. I took a youth approach. I put Esposito. I'm going to put Esposito.
Ah, okay. So rookie would be a noob, right?
Ah, because that's how typically a rookie in basketball, which I think is where it's coming from, someone that's drafted.
Mm.
So someone that's drafted wouldn't typically have experience elsewhere. I think that's the meaning of rookie.
Let's go Liberali.
Ooh.
Fuck it.
Go Liberali. Go Liberali. Crazy.
He looks amazing.
He does. But they might want to keep him in that Serie 3 team, the Milan Futuro.
The Futuro, but we'll see.
We'll see.
He can still, I think, if he's in the Futuro team, get called up, right? Since he's a youth player.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Comeback of the year. I'm not sure. Is this a comeback as in a team that cements themselves again? Or are we talking about an actual comeback? Like, you're 3-0 down and you win 4-3. Or
Let's go a team that bounces back. A team that starts off in a shit way and then they get better.
Ah, they have to start off shit.
Ah, they come back.
Or
they
come back from last season.
Oh!
Because Napoli in that case. And even, they might be bad until they get their striker.
Let's go Napoli. Yeah. Let's go Napoli. Compared to last season, they'll have the biggest comeback, finishing second as we predicted.
Fraud of the year is a difficult one, bro.
Fraud of the year.
I'm going to go Fabregas, bro.
You think?
Fabregas, I don't know, because there's a lot of hype around this Como team, and if they flop, it's just going to look terrible on his end, you know? Because so many teams around him don't have the resources he has from the newly promoted. Mm. So if he's battling relegation and manages to keep them in that position and eventually get sacked, for example, or, I don't know, man, they simply get relegated, that would be quite a, not a fraud, you know what I mean? Not fraud, but a flop.
Yeah.
Who would you pick as your fraud?
I hate saying this because he's my favorite ever.
What are you gonna say?
Nesta.
Ah, yes.
My stylistically, genuinely my favorite center back of all time, I think.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well done, bro.
Thanks.
You just shot a legend.
Clown of the year.
Clown of the year. I mean, clown. What makes a clown, bro?
As in someone that.
Like, he's a joke.
Like when I think of clown, I think of Cassano, for example.
Clown of the year, Di Francesco, for just not defending, just attacking every team that comes in front.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's quite clown-esque, no?
Uh-huh.
Can we pick a Serie B player, Thomas Henry?
Clown. Who's my clown? I really don't know who my clown is. My clown. I like him. Baroni. I think too big for his boots.
Okay. Coach of the year.
I could go safe and say Simone Inzaghi again. But yes. Yes, Simone Inzaghi. Simone Inzaghi.
I'll go Conte, fuck it.
Good, good shout.
Overachiever.
Overachiever. I'm gonna go... Ah, man.
It's
impossible. It's impossible. Fiorentina, I think they'll do better than people think. Overachiever.
But overachiever means they have to get higher than eighth, because that's what they typically, that's what they achieve.
I guess. But like Como. Como. I don't think they'll battle relegation. Como.
I'll go Torino, fuck it.
Ooh, you think they'll do better than 10th, 11th? 11th. Or ninth?
I don't really think so, bro, to be honest. But I think regarding when it comes to expectations and how everyone seems to think they're going to dip, I think they'll stay pretty much the same, you know. So, yeah, for them, that's overachieving. An underachiever of the year.
Venezia or Lazio? I think Lazio, just because they're...
Bologna.
Good choice.
Thanks,
good
bro.
Good choice.
Fucking hell, oh my God, that was one title. Jesus Christ, bro.
We could have done an entire episode just for those questions. Oh my God. That was tough. I think that's that, bro.
Yeah, we can stop it there, to be honest.
The next...
Atalanta Real Madrid's about to start.
The next time we're going to see you guys, we're going to be talking about the 10 matches that took place in match day one. So stay tuned. We're going to be here. Jake's going to probably be hungover. You're going to have a hard time during The Bachelors telling people to fuck off when you're watching all the games on your phone, eh?
Yeah, but I found my power bank.
Nice,
in fact, if you look behind, you see that TV, it's tilted. That's because the table is made of boxes and I couldn't quite get them the way they originally were.
Ah, you found your power bank in those boxes?
No, but I emptied them all. It wasn't my bag.
Okay.
But yes, I will be watching on my phone, definitely.
Lit.
And I will be studying on the plane back.
Lit. Don't worry, I'll send you any notes.
Yes, please.
Because I'm not going out this weekend. The girls are abroad as well. Jake is abroad. I'm just going to stay and I'll watch football.
You want the keys to here?
But I was going to offer her to feed Maya, but Sarah's mom's got that covered, no?
Yeah.
Then no.
You could come keep her company.
One thing might lead to another, bro.
Come on, bro.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week. And we're excited as fuck to start season 4 off with a bang. Love you all.
If you like Serie A or have ever liked it in the past, it's a good opportunity for you to listen once a week and you'll get filled in.
In the football weekend, that's like the main dish. But then a few days later, you drop your episode and that's like the dessert. And the dessert is just perfect.
It's good, the cake.
It makes it feel like we're all sitting in a room together, just BSing with each other.
The atmosphere is fantastic.
I promise nobody will ask you to send boob pics.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
I love how you go into so much detail and show so much passion towards each and every team. Literally, no team is left undiscussed.
When I listen to you, it's like I'm talking to you in a pub. It's like I'm chatting to a friend and you're chatting to me.